Wow, this week did not go as planned, and I've still got places to go, and I haven't been able to work on the unforgettable message yet, and I guess that would be unforgivable if I don't work on the unforgettable message. But I'm going to need to go up another floor. I don't know, should I take the elevator or should I take the stairs? I guess people have been encouraging me to exercise, but I'm going to take the elevator. And let's see, I need to go there, yeah. Good morning. Which floor? Okay. Which floor? Okay. All right. Oh! Did y'all feel that? It stopped. And I think we're in between floors. I think it's not moving. And it got dark. We're stuck. Let me see if I can find a number here to call, find out what to do. Oh, in the event of an emergency, call this number, okay. Yes, we're stuck in the elevator. Yeah, there's about 8 people. I think we're in between floors. Power failure. At least 20 minutes. Stay calm. Okay. We'll do our best. Well, it looks like there's a power failure in the building, and we're stuck here for 20 minutes. And I want you to know that I'm a pastor, but I'm not going to be much help to you in this time because I'm terribly claustrophobic, and closed-in areas and people crowded are not 2 things I'm looking for. And I tell you another thing. When I'm this nervous, one of the best things I can do is just keep talking and try to get my mind off my circumstances. And let me share with you what I was thinking about when I got on this elevator. Maybe you can help me out. I told the congregation I pastor that last Sunday, on Easter Sunday, that I would preach an unforgettable message. And I've done that in the past years because sometimes the Sunday after Easter is such a letdown. You have this high energy on Easter Sunday. It doesn't seem right that the Sunday after Easter, that you just come in and you just accept things as if the Easter, the good news of Jesus, the risen Christ, was long ago and it no longer impacts the Sunday after. It seems absurd that it's that way. So I've tried to preach a message that continues to lift up the resurrection of Christ the Sunday after Easter. But this year, I still don't have one planned. I did the Gospel of Mark last year, and that took a lot of work. And it took about an hour. And I quoted Mark during the unforgettable message. But this year, that hasn't gone so well. I thought about doing Leviticus. But as I read the first few lines, I said, this is never going to work, and nobody's going to sit through this. So then I started thinking about maybe I needed something simple this year. But I haven't come up with what to do yet. Oh, yeah. You've got an idea? Great. Maybe I should use this experience of being stuck in an elevator for an unforgettable sermon. That's brilliant. oh, okay. And I could use some of these puns that I've been dying to use about elevators. This sermon could be about life has its ups and downs. Or, I hope I don't push your buttons. Or, I hope this will open some doors for you. Or, even better yet, it will lift you to some new spiritual heights. What's that? You have one more? Oh, I like that one. Sometimes you get the elevator and sometimes you get the shaft. And we've gotten the shaft. Oh, I have a thought. You know, sometimes when I talk with folks in my church, we talk about trying to make things more simple, more understandable, and use the illustration like if we were in an elevator and we wanted to tell somebody about our faith in Christ and we only had a given amount of time, how would we do it? So this might be an opportunity, since we're trapped in this elevator, that I could work on my elevator message. You know, the people that were here on Easter Sunday heard a resurrection message. I think I would want them to remember the Sunday after Easter in this elevator message. I think I'd want them to remember that Jesus is risen the Sunday after Easter, just like he was risen the Sunday of Easter. That his resurrection is not just one day, it is for our whole life. And it's all about Jesus. And that's my starting point, I believe, for this message, is it's all about Jesus. Jesus, he is my Savior, he's my Lord. And when I am at peace with my life, it's because I've drawn close to Jesus. And I find that he's the meaning to life. He's the answer to life's questions. He is able to meet my needs deeper than anyone else. He forgives my sins. And when I sin, his forgiveness, there's nothing greater than his forgiveness. I mess up and I need his grace. And his grace is always sufficient for my every need. It's all about Jesus. And there's life circumstances that I find myself in that are difficult. And Jesus is there, especially in those difficult circumstances. He's there, and when I face matters of life and death, he is always there. It's all about Jesus. I think that's what I'd want folks to remember. I'd also want folks to remember that, you know, in some people's minds, it's about trying to avoid hell and to go to heaven. And that seems to be, we're living somewhere between heaven and hell. Now, hell is a very serious thing. Sometimes we're light about hell. We say things about hell like, well, really, it doesn't make sense. We say, well, it's cold as. And then we turn around and we say, it's hot as. And sometimes we say that it is funny as or crazy as. All kinds of crazy things we say about hell. But hell is very serious. Hell is much further along than sin. Sin separates us from God, but hell ultimately is permanent separation from God. And hell is just like there's a kingdom of God, there's a kingdom of Satan. And the kingdom of Satan, it is run by, hell is run by Satan. And so one of the things that we always need to remember is that the evil one attacks us at our greatest point of vulnerability. He's good at that. And he's going to try to devastate us. And I don't know a lot about hell as a final destination. God controls who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. But I do know that the path to hell starts on earth. And the evil one seeks to wreck our lives, to bring hell in our lives, and he is very pleased when our lives become like hell to live. But Jesus, on the other hand, wants to love us into heaven. And he wants to get the hell out of us. He doesn't want us to live in hell on this earth. He wants us to be loved into heaven. I believe I'd want folks to remember that. Jesus wants to love us out of our hell into heaven for eternity. I'd also want folks to remember in this elevator message to never forget that we're not able to pull this off by ourselves. We're not smart enough. We don't have enough energy. We're not able to pull it off by ourselves. And just as Jesus is the answer that God has given to the world for all of us, Jesus promises us we'll never be alone. He promises his Holy Spirit, the Helper. And so we have the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to walk with us through life, to be a presence for us, to be a power for us. When we don't think we can keep going on, the Holy Spirit comes to us and fills us. And the more difficult the circumstances, it seems like the presence of the Spirit makes the greater difference. And this presence is not only a power to help us through difficult circumstances, this presence of God that abides in us is also gives us peace, not as the world gives, but peace as only God can give. This Holy Spirit helps us when we find it difficult. This Holy Spirit, God Himself, is here in this elevator with us to help us in this time of uncertainty. Another thing I'd want folks to remember in this elevator message, just trying to make this message simple as I can, is that God gave us the church. That's the continuation of Jesus' ministry. Jesus, in his 3 years on the earth, and in his path to the cross and to the resurrection, he had a plan. And his plan was to use the 12 disciples that he discipled along the way and to lead to the formation of the church so that the church could continue to make disciples. And Jesus, in his ministry, taught about making disciples. Jesus didn't talk about becoming a Christian. That's more the way we express it. Jesus challenged his disciples to make disciples. And so that's why we're here. Now, sometimes we get it wrong. I hear you talking in the elevator. Sometimes the churches, they don't make disciples, and they become consumed with secondary purposes. I know that. I heard of a church one time that was giving a report at the end of the year, and the greatest highlight of the previous year was this. They had bought a new mop bucket. Sometimes the church gets it wrong. But in Jesus' design, we are here to be the body of Christ and to make disciples in this world. We're here to be a disciple. And by being a disciple, we're here to make disciples. And you know there's already some proven methods in place to make disciples in the church? Here's some of those proven methods. Worship. When we gather each week and we learn of God and we worship God, we are igniting the possibilities of our discipleship for that week to be more like Jesus, to follow Jesus, and to make a difference for Jesus in our world. Another proven method is when we open our Bibles and we read God's word. Sometimes it only takes one verse to change the outlook of our whole day. And that's discipleship, when God's word influences our day. I was just reading as I was thinking about how clumsy it was preparing for this unforgettable sermon. I was just reading out of the book of Isaiah today. Those who wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary, and they shall walk and they shall not faint. And that seems like a good passage when you're stuck in an elevator. Another proven way to make disciples is through small groups. And our church is opening up some small groups. We have a study called All In. And it's our hope that we can help each other grow in discipleship. And we can share how we see it, God at work in our lives, and hear how God is at work in other people's lives. And we're inspired and we're closer to God through all of this. Another way, a proven method of our discipleship is when we use our gifts. The church is a body, and there's different gifts all throughout the body. And as we use those gifts, something happens in our soul. We become a part of being fruitful for the body of Christ, using our gifts, not hiding our gifts under a bushel, but using our gifts for the glory of God. Another way that we grow our discipleship is we engage in missions. It might be in the community. We seek to love those that aren't receiving love. We seek to help those that need our help. It could be in the nation. It could be international. It could be on a mission team. But we seek to make a difference to the least of these. And when we do, something happens in our discipleship. So there's proven ways that we do just what Jesus wanted us to do. There's ways that the church is being the church when we are being a disciple and we are helping make other disciples. I hear you over there in the corner of the elevator. You have heard church folks talking about everything but discipleship. You've heard them talking about gossip. Well, you know, sometimes the church gets it wrong. We're human beings. The book of James challenges us to consider the power of our words. The book of James, chapter 3, says that the tongue, it's like a rudder on a ship. Small, but it influences the whole ship. So are our words. Little, but they matter. They encourage folks. They discourage folks. They spread misinformation. They make things more difficult. Or they make things more like Christ wanted them to be. The gospel. Jesus said, by your words you're justified, and by your words you're condemned. So these words that we use, they're huge. And I think I'd want folks to remember that when we talk about Jesus Christ as the risen Christ, and there's hope and victory in Christ, that we, our words should reflect that every day. The hope in those words, the risen Christ. In fact, we are closer to Christ when we let our light shine before others, and they see our good works. They see that Christ is living in us. We share the light of Christ for those who are walking in darkness with love. We share the light of Christ. We let our light shine. That's the church at its best. We're letting our light shine for Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is being proclaimed, and we let our light shine for Jesus Christ. What's that you say? You're too old for this? This is for teenagers. This is for children. but you're well past that. Your time has passed. I think I'm going to have to disagree with you there. Because I would want in this unforgettable elevator message to say, you're never too old for God to use you for his higher purposes. You're never too old. In fact, I would say instead of thinking old, we need to think bold. If we have less time, we have to make the most of our time. So we go boldly and we do what God wants us to do. We use our wisdom that God has given us through the years to make more happen in shorter time. Don't think old, think bold. It sure happened with Abraham. Abraham's 100 years old. He thought his life was over. He always wanted just one son. And the Lord sure surprised him. Him and Sarah both. 100 years old, the century mark. Their purposes were just getting started. God said, I'm not only going to give you a son, but I'm going to give you more children than the stars in the sky. Don't think old, think bold. Well, that might be enough for an unforgettable message, an elevator message, to just say that it begins with Jesus. He's the answer we're looking for. That we want to help people out of hell and love them into heaven. That we are not able to do this, but the Holy Spirit is there to help us. That the church is God's way of making all this happen now. It's very important. It's very urgent. And we're a part of that. And we're to make disciples. And we need to think about our words, the power of our words, to use them for gospel, not gossip. And we're never too old. We can be bold for Jesus Christ. I think that elevator just moved. I think that door is opening. And I am so glad to get out of this elevator. Thank you for letting me talk while we had all this chaos going on. But I believe that you have helped me with this message. It is a message that Easter is more than a day. Jesus Christ's resurrection is true every day. He has risen. He has risen indeed. Amen.